Hare Krishna. Morning, dear devotees. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to assume you can hear me. Okay, I got some confirmation there. We will begin today Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Second volume, chapter 4. Today's verse is text 95. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Tatapi purvabhyasasya balina mahata prabho bhajanam kalu manyeham dinavritya sada sukham. Translation. In any case, by the strong influence of my previous practice, I continue to pay serious attention to my worship of the Supreme Lord and always happily behaved like an insignificant person. Commentary. Although Gopakumara could have felt proud to know himself equal in quality with Lord Narayan, he preferred to retain the genuine advantage of remaining humble. He was convinced that his only real happiness lay in satisfying the Lord. From the beginning of his devotional practice, he had always been unpretentious. Now, even among the devotees of Vaikuntha, he had a special destiny, and so he had to follow his nature. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unminitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Bhungam Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastachade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, last verse, I will read it. Thus there is opulence even in what seems like its absence, and when opulence is visible, the devotees still feel as if they possess nothing. That is the special nature of Vaikuntha. Last verse, we spoke a little bit about the opulences. The devotees manifest in Vaikuntha and how they are always under their control to manifest them or unmanifest them according to their wish. And here in today's verse, it is specifically being stated that although Gopa Kumar could have felt proud to know himself equal in quality with Lord Narayan, he preferred to retain the genuine advantage of remaining humble. There is a nice verse that comes later, much later, but in this conversation, later conversation between Narada Muni and which happened in Dwarka and Gopal Kumar, Narada Muni specifically told Gopal Kumar the advantage, the specific advantage Gopal Kumar had because of his simplicity. In fact, believe the word that was even used, I have a reference, was because of his naivete. He was very, very naive throughout his whole journey. He never, every place he went to, he didn't really know that there was something beyond. He thought, let me try to understand the Lord as he's manifest here. And he didn't even know how he got there or what his qualification was for getting there, except he had a certain simplicity about him, which was that I'll chant my mantra and see if it can take me there. And it wasn't a very calculated approach. Neither was he in any way proud of the opportunities which were extended to him, because as he discovered in many places, a lot of opportunities were extended to him and he didn't know why. You know, he took Indra's place, and in Svargaloka he took Brahma's place in Brahmaloka. Of course, in each place that he went to, as I said, there was a certain naivete about his willingness to adopt what was asked of him. Why? That is also made very clear here in the verse and commentary, because he was convinced that his only real happiness lay in satisfying the Lord. From the very beginning of his devotional practice, he had always been unpretentious. So he had a certain conviction, as we spoke about last time, in the last class, that that there is a certain benefit that comes to those devotees who are exclusively eager simply to serve the Lord, devotional service. And that was manifest in Gopal Kumar, as described here right from the very beginning, a very simple, naive desire that let me do something to serve the Lord, please the Lord, and to know the Lord. And therefore, every place he journeyed, he had maintained this simplicity. And what Sanatana Goswami explains in this verse that I referred to, that will come up later in the fifth chapter of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is that because he wasn't sophisticated, it was much more conducive for him. Had he been sophisticated, he would have analyzed everything because of his knowledge. And of course, this is described in the very beginning of this section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that there are jnana bhaktas, those who have some attachment to knowledge and who are interested in knowing more of the aspects of the Lord, what makes him glorious. And I think it's described that there were the jnana bhaktas, then there was the jnana bhaktas, the pure bhaktas, Then Jnana Bhakti was described as, see if I can remember, Ambarish Maharaj. And then the pure Bhakta was described, no, Jnana Bhakti was described as, excuse me, as Bharat Maharaj. The pure Bhakti was described as Ambarish Maharaj, and one who was situated in love of God, which is the next stage, was described as Hanuman. One who was immersed in love of God was described as the Pandavas. And those who were painfully overwhelmed in love of God was described as the Yadavas led by Uddhava. And all of these personalities, of course, this was in the beginning of this section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Uttara was trying to understand that there is a hierarchy in the spiritual world, and because there is a hierarchy, there should be special places where the Lord reciprocates according to the mood of his devotees. And what, of course, going back to her original question, she was trying to understand this, but where is that place? Where is that place when you're special devotees? Because she was also naive, in a sense. She didn't know anything. She was just pained to know that there are some special devotees like the gopis and Srimati Radharani, and that they should have a special place where they have their unique relationship with the Lord is reciprocated in a suitable way according to their mood of love, and where the Lord actually fully manifests his mercy to them, which was described in the first volume of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the different recipients of the mercy. And so she asked that question. But yet, Gopa Kumar, as we said, he was not influenced by Gyan. And therefore, it was described that he had a certain naivete. And I want to read this verse because it really nicely explains, it's a short purport, short commentary, nicely explains what we're describing here in today's verse about Gopa Kumar's qualification. Although there's a lot more other things that need to be discussed in today's verse, but let's discuss this simplicity and naivety. And I hope I can find it. Yes. It's text 251, fifth chapter, where Narada Muni is telling Gopa Kumar that your naivete let you feel the piqued curiosity of a simple heart free from agitation. Thus you enjoy the special ecstasy of discovering Lord Achyuta on every planet. Commentary. Misery may sometimes intensify affection. That's another topic in of itself. The misery and pain that Gopa Kumar gradually started experiencing in his different places where he visited, but which is, of course, culminates in the pain and so-called apparent misery that the residents of Goloka experience, which is the highest ecstasy. But I'm not going to go there right now. Misery may sometimes intensify affection, but what is the use of ignorance? Narada answers that on Maharloka and other planets, Gopa Kumar's simplicity allowed him to see in a very pure, loving mood the personality of Godhead. A mind filled with all kinds of knowledge becomes easily agitated by critical thoughts and is not free to enjoy enthusiasm like the mind of a simple person. Had Gopakumar been more sophisticated, he would not have been able to discover the Supreme Lord in his various aspects with as much sincere affection and would not have derived as much joy from the Lord's darshan. So that's an interesting aspect of Gopakumara's character, was his simplicity and his naivete. And his simplicity is described that he was not so influenced by gyan. Wherever he went, wherever the mantra took him, he was just very simply following his interests, not knowing where it would lead him, but yet being willing to continue because he had innately within his heart a desire to know more about this Lord he was worshiping in the form of this mantra, and was beginning to meditate on. And he was trying to see in his simple way, very simple way, how everywhere he went, where he saw the Lord, he was trying to see, hey, maybe this is what I'm looking for. And because of his simplicity, he derived, as Narada Muni brings out, he derived some pleasure from those experiences. But as we have repeatedly expressed again and again and again, which is, of course, one of the most important elements to understand about Gopakumara's journey, is that although he experienced some pleasure from the darshan, he did get some happiness. He did have that service mood and was willing to accept service to a certain point, wherever he was. But then there was something compelling him to serve with that service mood in a way which was more what he felt his calling, in a way which he felt would be more pleasing to the Lord, which is, of course, the perfect qualification to get this, was also described in today's verse in the commentary. Now, even among the devotees of Vaikuntha, he had a special destiny. Word is used, a special destiny. And so he had to follow his nature. Special destiny. What was that special destiny? We've heard about it many times. We've talked about it many times. But he was already selected. He was already noticed by Narada Muni. He was already noticed not only by Narada Muni, but here's another very important point. He was noticed by the Lord in the heart. Very important point. Because who was he speaking to in Vaikuntha? And I was actually, this very interesting verse in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Jad Bharata to Maharaj Rahugana. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur brings to light something very, very relevant to what is happening to Gopakumar in Vaikuntha in his exchanges with the Lord of Vaikuntha. What is happening? Why is the Lord dealing with him in this particular way? Because, in one sense, the Lord, the Paramatma, the Lord who goes with a living entity, accompanies the living entity throughout his journey in the material world, Although, as we described before, and there's no change in that, in Vaikuntha, there Paramatma, in that sense, is not there manifested in the heart, but the Lord of Vaikuntha is none different from that Paramatma. And therefore, that Paramatma, same personality, who journeyed with Gopakumara and observed his heart every place he went, who understood his heart every place he went, was also now in Vaikuntha in this manifest form, four arms. We've already described this, the features of the Lord and how he appeared in Vaikuntha, his attractive qualities. It's the same personality. And therefore, his dealings with Gopakumara were such that because the Lord, having journeyed with Gopakumara everywhere, knew what was in his heart. He gave him some happiness, some satisfaction. And someone may say, well, why didn't the Lord just, here he is in Vaikuntha, why didn't the Lord just reveal everything to him there? Why did he not do that? It seems that somehow the Lord was holding back. Yes, he was holding back. But why was he holding back? Because that was not the place for Gopakumara. And by holding back and understanding Gopakumara's heart, therefore, in one sense, he was giving Gopakumara, because he had the adhikar, he had the faith, he had the desire, he's developing a deep conviction. The Lord was actually preparing him by allowing him to experience some pain of separation from his Madan Gopal in Vaikuntha. That pain of separation was intensifying. And that's why we just read in this purport that we just read, misery may sometimes intensify affection. Pain may sometimes intensify affection. And the Lord was intensifying Gopakumara's affection. And Gopakumara, although you may say, here he is in Vaikuntha, why is he feeling pain? Because the Lord wanted to intensify his affection. And so I may say, well, that's cruel. Why did he give pain to Gopakumara in Vaikuntha? But it's not cruel. It's love. It's yeyatamma prapajate tangs tataga bhajam yaham. It's the reciprocation according to this, the heart's surrender. And that same personality who is situated within the heart, who traveled with Gopakumara everywhere throughout his whole journey, Svargaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka, he knew. So therefore, although he gave him some satisfaction in Vaikuntha, and at one point, we'll read very soon, he gave him some satisfaction, and that satisfaction was that he bestowed his mercy by revealing that his form was none different than Madan Gopal. His associates were like cowherd boys and Lakshmi Devi and Dharani. They were like gopis. And then when Gopakumara was in the beautiful gardens, he was able to see the cows in those beautiful gardens and the cowherd boys and Krishna in that form. So he did see that sometimes in Vaikuntha. Something, as we've repeatedly said, though, was still missing. And what was missing was that the Lord was not giving him the kind of intimate affection he was hankering for. And because of that intimate affection was being withheld there in Vaikuntha, it was causing him pain. And others who were residents of Vaikuntha, they couldn't see it because they don't know what pain is. They don't have that pain. They have ecstasy. They don't know what that pain is. So therefore, some of the residents of Vaikuntha would from time to time intervene. You know, when Gopakumar, as we already described, the different types of interventions that took place in Vaikuntha, that they, you know, when the Vaikuntha Duta said, hey, why don't you take this forearm form? You're fully qualified now. And Gopakumar wasn't interested. He wanted to keep the same form. When Gopakumar was running towards the Lord, calling out Gopal, there was some resistance from others, friendly resistance, as we have emphasized again and again, because there was always respect. and even what will be coming up is when Gopakumar offering the prayers and singing the Sankirtan, the names of the Lord, and some of the Vaikuntha residents will kind of try to restrain him, saying, hey, those aren't proper prayers for this place. And some try to, in a friendly way, subdue his spontaneity. And there were different opinions from them, but they didn't know what pain was. They didn't know. They couldn't recognize that pain. Narada Muni recognized that pain. Because Narada Muni understood that Gopakumar has this special affection in his heart, a special desire, aspiration, and worship. And therefore, he, even at one point in Vaikuntha, as we'll read, he'll pull Gopakumar aside and say, hey, what is it? and then not only we say that, but then he'll tell him what it is. because he could see in Gopakumar something missing. So that was how the Lord was dealing with him. The Lord was dealing with him to inspire that determination and to nourish that desire within Gopakumar to go all the way, to fulfill his desired objective, which was awakening more and more within his heart, even though he was happy in Vaikuntha. And I wanted to read that verse. It's a verse, as I said, from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's referred to, and it's from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, and I'm going to read the verse and the translation and commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The verse is fifth canto, 11th chapter, verses 13, 14. But if you look it up because I'm reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, because it's specifically focused on the point that I want to make. And it's not, you're going to find a slight variation of the translation if you open up fifth canto, 11th chapter, verses 13, 14 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Slight variation. But the verse is, Yatanila stavara jangamanam atma surupena nivista ishet evam paro bhagavan vasudeva kshetrigya atmedam anupavista. The Supreme Lord is the knower of all bodies. He is all pervasive, has a human form, is the cause of the universe, is self-revealing, is without material birth, and is the Lord of all others. He is Mahavishnu, the Lord of Vaikuntha, and the master of Mathura and Dwarka. He is the object of meditation for the liberated jivas by his mercy. And then in the commentary, just as the air enters all moving and stationary beings as prana and controls them, the Supreme Lord Vasudev, the knower of all bodies, pervading everywhere, enters this universe. So as Paramatma, we know him in his feature as we described before, who enters this universe and manifests within the heart of all living entities. And therefore, I'll go on to read the commentary. The conditioned jiva absorbs himself in the conventional world of samsara. In what does the liberated jiva absorb himself? In this verse, the knower of the field refers to the Paramatma, who knows all bodies completely. He pervades everywhere, Atma. He is the cause of the universe, Purana. Has the form of a human, is self-revealing, Svayam Jyoti. Devoid of material birth, Aja. Is the Lord of all others, such as Brahma, Paresha. He lies on the Karana ocean, Narayana. Is full of six powers as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Is the son of Vasudev, the master of Mathura and Dwarka, and is the object of the mind for the liberated jiva, since he is completely free of maya, su amayaya. Or he is the object of meditation for the liberated jiva because of his sarup shakti, or his mercy. So here is it actually spoken by Maharaj Rahugana, like Jad Bharata to Maharaj Rahugana, where he's describing the Paramatma feature and how this Paramatma feature of the Lord is also the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayan, and he's also the master of Mathura and Dwarka. In other words, he's all-knowing. But there in Vaikuntha, difference is he's not in the heart. Pagopa Kumar, he's sitting on the throne. And he knows. He knows. He traveled with Gopa Kumar everywhere in his journey. And now he's reciprocating as the Lord of Vaikuntha in a suitable way for him. Because as we already described before, he knows what is in the heart of Gopa Kumar. And therefore, that is one point I wanted to bring up in this verse. The other point I've already described, that he was convinced that his only real happiness lay in satisfying the Lord, as we already described. And from the beginning of his devotional practice, he had always been unpretentious. Now, even among the devotees of Vaikuntha, he had a special destiny, and so he had to follow his nature. The other point I wanted to bring up, and not go into too much detail. Today is Monday, and it's a japa day. And it's Monday, right? So I won't go into too much detail, but there's also a very nice description, as we said before, that why would the Lord not give everything to Gopakumar, and to apparently cause him some pain, which Narada Muni recognized. And as we said before, and we read that the intensity of pain, or the experience of pain, such as that which Gopakumar experienced, then it had a way of intensifying his affection for the Lord. And as we have alluded to before, not only just alluded to, but we've actually read some of the verses before, that in Goloka, the pain experienced by the residents of Goloka is incomparable. And even Narada Muni, when describing it, he says the same thing to Gopakumara, as Gopakumara has said many times to the Mathura Brahmin, which was that I can't even explain it to you in words. You can't understand this. There's no way you'll be able to understand it. You have to experience it yourself. So just imagine that, having heard this already so many times about Gopakumara's experience of Vaikuntha, that the opulences of Vaikuntha, the exchanges between the Lord and his devotees in Vaikuntha, the different forms which are manifest in Vaikuntha, and all the fantastic descriptions which Gopakumara even apologized for attempting to use words to describe them, knowing he wasn't doing them justice. He even said, "I hope I'm not committing an offense by using these descriptions to describe Vaikuntha to you." So I can only take you so far, and your only way that you're going to be able to really understand Vaikuntha is to experience it yourself. So if Vaikuntha is like that, just imagine. That's all we can do is imagine. We can't understand it. And even if we attempt to imagine, if we're too complicated, we've already heard that being too complicated, it could impact and it could influence our ability to be able to accept it. And therefore, many times, as we've been hearing again and again from Rupa Goswami, from Sanatan Goswami, from Gopakumara, please just hear it with an accepting heart, with faith. We described the different types of hearers. We spoke about it on Saturday. I'm not going to go there again. We already talked about it. But definitely, hearers are those who hear with faith. Especially when you hear the descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan, there's no question of, you know, analyzing it, you know, speculating about it, and what to speak of, tormenting ourselves with an attempt to understand it fully with knowledge. The simplicity of Gopakumara and the simplicity of the devotees who hear these topics with faith is, as we've described, a very important qualification. Simplicity and dānya, humility, which is the other quality which Gopakumara is manifesting here, was his simplicity and his humility. He wasn't becoming proud by his opulences. He was so simple. And he was not inclined. What? I don't need to display these opulences. He always kept a very humble position. Not a challenging position when those who attempted to suggest that he do something that which contradicted his... It was his humility. His humility, which carried him forward. And this point, Narada Muni is going to bring out, this is the last point. We've talked about his simplicity, his naivete. Now we're going to speak about his humility. Both his humility and his eagerness to understand, and also the pain. The pain which manifested in his heart because of his intensity of his desire to know Madan Gopal. It was causing him pain. But that pain is pleasure for the devotee. It's pleasure for the devotee. Pain is pleasure because it increases one's eagerness, and the simplicity of the devotee is not to challenge, tate no kampam sushamikshan mano, not to challenge the sufferings, not to challenge the anxiety or the distress, but to go on hearing. Because the more we go on hearing with faith, that carries us, and humility, that carries us to a special destiny. What else? What else can be, how else can we describe it? Gopakumara has a special destiny. The mature Brahman has a special destiny. And those devotees who maintain faith, simplicity, and an open heart, and humility, they become qualified for a special destiny, especially if they're willing to hear these transcendental narrations about this such special place, without a challenging, not becoming like the wolf who causes distress for the devotees who are simply trying to relish. I was thinking of this example, actually. I don't want to digress, but I was thinking of this example the other day. It was just like, you know, like Devananda Pandit, who was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srivas Thakur happened to be there, and we were talking about how the devotee, he always hears whatever nourishes his what's in his heart. He heard from Devananda Pandit, who is inclined towards impersonalism, but he extracted the essence, and within his heart, he was hearing. And not only was he hearing that which was in his heart, but he was crying. And he was crying, and he was causing, by his crying, neither Devananda Pandit nor his disciples could recognize what was happening in Srivas Thakur's heart. They couldn't recognize it. And they were like the wolves, because they were thinking, what is this person doing here? Causing a disturbance. Our Guru Maharaj is expanding the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam in an impersonalistic way. And Srivas Thakur was extracting the essence and relishing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they were like the wolves. And Srivas Thakur was like the fish The fish, or like the chatak bird, who was simply extracting the essence and hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was nourishing his mood of loving affection for the Lord. Of course, Srivasa Thakur is Narada Muni. Anyways, so it somehow it came to my mind after class. Good example. So we're going to read, and we'll end with a description which is so beautiful about pain. About pain, simplicity, and about the very difficult to understand description of Goloka Vrindavan, which Narada Muni and Uddhava also are going to reveal. Once Gopakumara finishes with Vaikuntha, he goes to Ayodhya, he goes to Dwarka, and in Dwarka, in Uddhava's house, Narada Muni and Uddhava are there, nobody else is around, and they begin talking about this place, this special place, which Narada Muni says, even I am not qualified to go. And Uddhava says, I'm not qualified either, but I saw it with my own eyes. When I went and I saw the moods that were manifest in the gopis and in Nanda Maharaj, and therefore, for me to become a blade of grass there, I would consider to be a special opportunity for me, so that I could simply get the dust of my head from these devotees who are recipients of special mercy. So Narada and Uddhava, in Uddhava's house in Dwarka, specifically it was Narada Muni at this particular point who's speaking, and I just want to read about Dainya, about humility. And because that is also a wonderful quality which Gopakumara is manifesting here, particularly in this verse, is humility and how he displayed it, continuously displayed it. So these are the verses. I think it's fifth chapter. Yes, fifth chapter. I'm going to just read through the verses. We'll get to them in due course of time and be able to read the commentaries. But the verses in of themselves express the message which needs to be heard. That loving devotional service is far different from disciplines such as karma, jnana, and yoga. That loving devotional service is far different from disciplines such as karma, jnana, and yoga. At every stage, it is decorated by indifference to them. And its root is dainya, utter humility. Wise men define dainya as the state in which one always thinks oneself exceptionally incapable and low, even when endowed with all excellences. An intelligent person should carefully cultivate speech, behavior, and thinking that fix him in utter humility. And anything that stands in the way of it, he should avoid. Dainya, at its most exalted, comes forth when prema, pure love of God, reaches full maturity, as it did in the women of Gokula when they were separated from Krishna. When dainya fully matures, prema unfolds without limit. And so we see dainya and prema acting in a relationship in which each is both cause and effect. Danya is the cause for prema. Prema is the cause for danya. Prema is the effect of danya. Danya is the effect of prema. Dear brother, those who know the essence of prema recognize its presence when the melting of a devotee's heart gives rise to trembling and other such outward signs. For those who have prema, the blazing conflagration of their agony is like the nectarian water of the Yamuna, and yet like the burning flames of a fire. To them, poison is like nectar, and nectar like poison. Death is happiness, and life but an expansion of misery. Indeed, because one cannot clearly tell between coming together with the object of prema and being separated from it, prema is full of both the greatest ecstasy and the worst of anguish. When prema matures, one inevitably acts from time to time in the ways of an utter madman. And without such prema, not even the nine kinds of devotional service to Lord Mukunda can bring real happiness. Indeed, without prema, the nine kinds of devotional service are like vegetables without salt. An elaborate meal without hunger. Scriptural study without understanding. Or gardens without fruit. I say something general about this love, but it cannot be described in full detail. How can I adequately tell of the nature of the pure love the women of Vraj have for Krishna? When Krishna went to Mathura city, the cowherd women were plunged at once into a state more intense than the fire of universal annihilation. The simple truth is that the cause of this state was prema. I beg you, do not try to delve into this any deeper. If you ever meet the divine goddess Radhika, then you will see prema in person. And if ever she speaks about prema, only then can you hear the truth about it, if you are able to understand it. Or should there ever be a full incarnation of Sri Krishna Chandra to distribute pure Krishna prema, or to experience the Krishna prema of Srimati Radhika, you might be able to understand it. This is how to understand. If there ever be, an incarnation, you might be able to understand. This is what Lord Chaitanya came to teach. So, dear son of Rajabhumi, to fulfill your desires, go quickly to Lord Jagannath's abode, the holy place that is an image of Mathura. Unlike me, you are surely a person. Unlike me, he says, you are surely a person in whom the Lord has reposed his mercy. I'm not going to try. I introduced it, and I hope my introduction will be sufficient to at least understand a little bit about what Narada Muni is telling Gopakumar. There are commentaries there. we'll approach those commentaries when we get there. If we get there, I don't know. When, if. At the pace we're moving, it could be another year. But anyways, I will end here. And this is the essence of today's verse about Gopakumar's qualification for moving on. And we'll chant a little japa together, which is our tradition. Although we did speak for about an hour already, but we'll chant japa for a little bit, especially for those in America who may still have some rounds to chant. Yes, I have my beads. So we'll end here. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadardhar, Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Give me devotees, I have to end here. We have Damodarastakam, which is going to be on the same japa session, the same link, which is beginning in 20 minutes. I have to disconnect from this link and reconnect again. It takes me a little time to set things up. So I'm going to end here. I think I muted everybody. I did it because... Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna,